This is TechSide Daily, the daily voice of Tech Cocoon.
Your briefing on the companies, the capital, and the policy shaping African technology. Here is what matters on June 26, 2026.
Cascador deployed over $5 million across 7 Nigerian startups, which sounds like a significant investment. But the real question is how much is actually deployed and how concentrated it is. Our read at Tech Cocoon is that concentration is the story in African venture funding, so we need to look beyond the headlines.
That's a great point, Amara. When you strip away the top deals, what's left is often a more nuanced picture. In this case, we should be asking about the instrument mix and whether these investments are equity or debt. Is Cascador providing working capital, or is this a bet on future growth?
And that's where the structure underneath the headline matters. If these investments are concentrated in a few startups, it may not be as impactful as it seems. We should also be looking at the post-raise behavior of these startups, like hiring or expansion, to see if this investment is actually driving growth.
So, what should builders and investors be watching here? I think they should be looking at the actual deployment of funds and the concentration of investments, rather than just the headline numbers. It's also important to consider the instrument mix and whether these investments are supporting working capital or future growth.
And that's why our standing question is which African pension regulators will move first to unlock meaningful domestic LP capital, and what changes when they do. This could have a significant impact on the venture funding landscape and how investments are structured.
Moving on to the next story. Close It Club raised an undisclosed seed for its clothing resale and rental marketplace in South Africa. The sustainability story is real, but the hard part is trust, logistics, and take rate.
Kwame, in African consumer platforms, trust is not a brand attribute, it's a unit economic. Cash on delivery rates, order failure rates, refund speed, and rider reliability decide CAC payback more than marketing does. So, we need to look at the operational density of Closet Club's platform and how it's executing on these key metrics.
The informal retail sector is also a significant player in this space, and platforms like Closet Club need to compete with the corner shop and open market, which offer credit, proximity, and social trust. Can Closet Club beat them on price or convenience by a wide margin?
That's a tough question, and it's why we're skeptical of GMV growth without take rate and completion rate context. We need to see the actual numbers behind Closet Club's platform to understand its viability. Our read at Tech Cocoon is that trust is the unit economic, so we're watching the completed order rates, prepaid share, and repeat purchase cohorts.
So, what's the implication for builders and investors here? I think they should be focusing on the operational density of their platforms and executing on key metrics like trust, logistics, and take rate. It's also important to consider the informal retail sector and how to compete with it.
Yesterday, we talked about Agents raising $5 million for Morocco's property market, and the question was about the numbers it didn't share. Similarly, with Closet Club, we need to look beyond the headline and focus on the actual metrics that matter.
Paystack launched Index, an experimental product letting Nigerians buy airtime, fund Zap wallets, and order Chowdeck through AI agents like Claude and ChatGPT. This is an interesting development, but we need to consider the payment rails underneath.
Kwame, our house position is that African fintech's durable value sits in the settlement layer, not the interface layer. So, we need to look at the integration depth of Paystack's Index product and whether it's building on top of existing payment rails or creating new ones.
The float and pre-funding are also significant costs in African payments, and companies that move money across borders must park capital ahead of demand. This is why credit facilities, not equity rounds, are increasingly the financing event that matters.
And that's why we're watching the disclosed transaction volumes, take rates, and instrument type. Is Paystack using debt to fund working capital, or is this an equity play? Our read at Tech Cocoon is that the payment rails are the key to understanding the durability of Paystack's Index product.
So, what should builders and investors be watching here? I think they should be looking at the integration depth of Paystack's Index product, the payment rails underneath, and the instrument type. It's also important to consider the float and pre-funding costs and how Paystack is managing those.
Finally, Yamify wants to be the Heroku for AI in Africa, but the analogy needs unpacking. The real test is which African-specific constraints it actually removes. Our standing question is, which markets cross the prepayment trust threshold first, and what breaks it open?
That's a great question, Amara. Yemify's platform needs to address the unique challenges of the African market, such as trust, logistics, and take rate. If it can remove these constraints, it could be a significant player in the AI deployment space.
So, what's the implication for builders and investors here? I think they should be focusing on the African-specific constraints that Yemify's platform is addressing and whether it's actually removing them. It's also important to consider the prepayment trust threshold and how Yemify's platform is executing on that front.
That has been TechSide Daily from Tech Cocoon, mapping African innovation from market signal to execution and funding.
The full reporting is waiting for you at techcocoon.org. From Amara and Kwame, we will see you tomorrow.
TechSide Daily is a production of Tech Cocoon, founded by Dr. Victor Akeza.